Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
When you want to shout to the Lord, can I just wake this church up for a little bit? Can we just wake up a little bit? We are in the presence of the Holy of Holies. Seriously, this is an event that is real. And if we have to work something up to get excited about Jesus, then you don't know Jesus. I'm serious about that. If you have to get all worked up, then you don't know Jesus. The enemy does not want you to know that you are blessed. That you are blessed. You really. Betty is from Rolla, Missouri. Long way. I think you may get the award for the longest drive to church. Betty, first time, and Yvonne, her daughter, would you welcome them here at St. Charles River Church? We're thrilled that y'all are here. Betty, God wants you to know you're blessed today. You are blessed today. The enemy doesn't want you to know that. The enemy wants you to live in disappointment all the time. Do you know that? The enemy wants you to live in disappointment. Which is, by the way, what the message that God gave to me for you this week is about disappointment. We all experience disappointment. We all, at some point or another in our lives, we experience a level of disappointment, either in someone or in a situation that has come about. And I've even known situations in people's lives where they were so disappointed with God. I mean, really disappointed with God. A decision that God had allowed something to come their way. And I want you to know something. There's some level of, we get that. And some level of, God really does understand that there's a level of disappointment. Do you know you were not, listen to me now, you were not created. The human experience was never created. If you're a believer like I am in the whole Bible, in the book of Genesis, God did not create man to live in disappointment. Think about this. God did not create man to experience disappointment, because all of our provisions were taken care of. As when God put man in the garden, all of our needs would be taken care of. There's nothing, even entertainment. No, seriously. He gave things to Adam and to Eve for pleasure in the garden. Check it out. Check out the creation story. He put things in the garden for pleasure, for their pleasure, entertainment. By the way, for those who think that, and I've said this before, that work came as a result of the fall of sin, no, it did not. Check it out. God told Adam to work the garden long before sin ever came into the picture. So work is healthy for us. It's a healthy thing. But God did not create us to live under stress, to live in depression. God did not give us, He did not build us to live with a feeling of separation from Him, of loneliness. God never created us to experience disappointment, because man knew, Adam and Eve, even though God gave them choice, the power of choice, God never created them to experience disappointment. Thus, when we feel disappointment, it is a weight inside the soul of a human being that is not natural to us. People say, well, you know, disappointment's part of life. It was not intended to be. You say, stress, it's a part of life. It was not intended to be. It just wasn't. And so, since the fall of man, since the decision, by the way, the sin, just, I want to put this out there, the sin came actually long before the bite. Because the sin was, I don't know if God is trustworthy. It was a lack of trusting God. That truly, it's what led to the action of the sin. Really. It was a doubting. Remember, the enemy went to them and to Adam and to Eve and said, did God really mean what he said? You'll die if you. So the whole idea of the question of whether you can trust God at his word, that was the beginning when man had free will. Man began to question, was God trustworthy? And so it was just one thought that led to another that led to the action of the sin itself. So having said all that, we were never created to expect less than what God had promised. Everybody grabs that, right? We were created wholly in the sight of God, fully in the sight of God to trust him at his word that all provisions would be made known. And yet, since the fall of man, we have lived with the emotion, and we all have emotions, we have lived with the emotion of hate, of frustration, of doubt, of disappointment. And a lot of those things we aim at each other, and some of those things we even aim at God. Well, I want to have you turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Proverbs. And if you don't know, the writer of this is actually Solomon, who is the son of King David. If you're not familiar with the Proverbs, this is all about gaining wisdom. This is a whole picture of pursuing God's kind of wisdom. In other words, not man's wisdom, but a godly wisdom, a wisdom above what would be natural for the fallen man. Okay, it wasn't unnatural for Adam and for Eve. They had access to it. But in the fallen state, this is unnatural, and only the Holy Spirit filling us with his presence brings the revelation of a supernatural wisdom. Everybody say supernatural. Everybody know I'm not talking about spooks flying around in the room. When I say supernatural, I'm talking about you and I are the natural. God is the super. You put them together and you have the supernatural, right? Because we're working within the super, and he is working within the natural. And all of a sudden, there's this realm above the natural that takes place. And so I want to read to you, if you're not really familiar, I just want to read kind of the beginning of Proverbs. It's the Proverbs of verse 1, chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, this is NIV, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. By the way, if you're not willing to listen to God, you're already not wise. You're already, the Bible says, foolish. It's what he declares, not me. Goes on to say, now this isn't what I'm teaching from this morning, but just so you understand what the Proverbs are about, it's about gaining wisdom. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables and sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. That's what God's word says. That's what the Spirit of God led Solomon to write. And then I want you to flip over to, having said that, understand, we're pursuing the wisdom of the supernatural God about disappointment, about how we deal with life and disappointment. And I want you to know, first of all, I want to take you, before I take you to chapter 3 of Proverbs, I just want to say, do you know some of the greatest men of God in God's word were disappointed with God? So when you find yourself disappointed, how many of you ever been disappointed in yourself? Your old bad self. I've been disappointed with my old bad self. And I've had two-way conversations. What were you thinking? I know I'm an idiot. I know you're an idiot. Why would you? And you start actually having these conversations back and forth because you're so upset with yourself. Why did I say that? Or why did I do that? You ever walk up to a casket and say something to the loved one that you wish you hadn't said? Oh, if I could suck those words. By the way, hear the lesson. Think about what you say. Sometimes it's just better to say nothing and just love on their back a little bit. Isn't it? Doesn't wisdom sometimes come with no words? Well, would you love to have a point in time or a moment in your life, if you could do it all over again, you'd do it differently. Right? Perspective. Disappointed in yourself, disappointed in somebody really close to you, or disappointed in God. Some of the greatest men, Jonah, was disappointed with God. In fact, he just got so disappointed, he just got mad at God. Do you remember the story? Remember, I'm not going to take you there, but read it. It's not that long of a book. Read the book of Jonah. He gets mad at God. That's why I went to Tarshish. I don't want to go to Nineveh. That's why I got on the ship and ran away, because I knew you would do something stinking kind and forgiving to the people of Nineveh. And you did. And now I'm mad because he disappointed in the decision that God made. And by the way, bad things happen to Christians. Bad scenarios happen to believers. Tragic situations happen to believers. And we get disappointed and we get disillusioned. Sometimes we allow our disappointment to go into a disillusion. Kind of just, what are you? Oh, God, are you even there listening? Some of the greatest men in God's Word had those conversations with God. Are you even here listening to me? Are you even? Sometimes David had those kind of conversations. But I want you to turn now in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to talk about further. The heading under this is kind of the further benefits of wisdom, of chasing after the wisdom of God. And I want to talk with you about disappointment and how we handle disappointment. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. This is the NIV. I'm going to go ahead. That's Amplified up there, right? So I'm going to read it in the Amplified, but I want you to keep your NIV open because I may refer back to it. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Go ahead and there you go. For the length of days and years of life worth living, and tranquility and prosperity, the wholeness of life's blessings, they will add to you. You hear that? Do you hear that? If you seek God's wisdom and you obey His commands, God's promises, these things will be added to you. Next verse. Do not let mercy and kindness and truth leave you. Instead, let these qualities define you. Bind them. Did you hear that? Don't worry, I'm getting to the disappointment here in just a couple minutes. Don't miss the nuggets along the way in the journey. Do not let mercy and kindness and truth leave you, but rather let them define you. I just want to stop there for a second. Wouldn't it be amazing when this world, I've been to enough funerals in my life that I know the difference when I go to a funeral, and I can talk about this elderly brother or this elderly sister that has gone to be with the Lord. Man, they were known for their kindness. They were known for the genuineness, and they were known for the mercy that they showed people, that they could have, you know, you've been in church all your life. You know, people talk about people in church. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Seniors, you know that as well as I do. We've all been in church at some point where people yak at lunch. Did you see Sister So-and-so? Wow, that dress wasn't near as long as it. You know, I've heard that kind of stuff. It's not just on the Andy Griffith Show, for crying out loud. This is real life stuff. People yak at each other. Don't let mercy and kindness and truth leave you. Instead, let these qualities define you. Let you be known for these things. Be known when people say, don't you just love you? Did y'all know Brother Old, Jim Old over at First Assembly? And Polly Old, his wife, Sister Old. That's what everybody knew him as, Brother and Sister Old. You know what? Everybody, when I did, I spoke at Jim Old's funeral last year, and then I spoke at Polly's just last week. I got to tell you, everyone in that, it was packed full, by the way. Packed full. I'm not even going to say the name of the funeral home. It was packed full. Everybody had masks on, but it was packed full. And why? Because those qualities defined them. No, that's true. I want you to know. Every one of those people in the audience when I was speaking on that day a week ago Saturday, everyone in that audience wishes they could have had a microphone that day to say what they felt about the things that defined the Old family. It's a precious thing when things define you. I'm going to go on. It says, write them on the tablet of your heart. In verse 4, it says, So find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and of man. When people, listen to me, when we say this phrase, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. That is an unscriptural thought. No, I'm serious. That is not what God's Word says. I don't care what man, no, we need to care. I'm not saying compromise. I said we need to care what man thinks of us. because our witness is all we got. If people think that we're a grouchy old cuss, you know, and we're known for talking about people, we're cruel to kids and all, you know, unkind to widows, it matters what people think about us. So it says, so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and of man. Verse 5 goes on to say, trust in, and now listen to this one. I'm going to camp on these for a little bit. Trust in, rely confidently on the Lord with all of your heart. In other words, make yourself vulnerable. Make yourself heart vulnerable. You can trust this. Bank everything on His trustworthiness. Make yourself vulnerable with all of your heart in the Lord. And do not rely on your own insight and your own understanding. Now I'm going to get into some disappointment. Some of us feel like in this room that God dropped the ball on some situation in our lives. Can I just tell you right now, there's a family that's in this church that just is a part of our lives and we will forever love them. And they're not here today because today is Caleb Rios's 28th birthday. And I was in discussion with Eric from last night to today. And talking about Caleb, he went to be with the Lord a little over a year ago. And he is in the Lord's presence today. And today would be his 28th birthday. I can't think of one thing, and I haven't been in your shoes. Maybe you can think of something. But this is just in my own imagination because I never want to know what it is to lose a child to eternity. Even if they go be with the Lord. I don't want to ever know what that pain feels like. And one of his messages to me was, it's unimaginable, Barry. It's unimaginable. Can you imagine? No, don't even try. Because it'll overwhelm your heart. It'll take you to a place where it's just overwhelming in grief. And yet, I want you to know, when Eric and Shelley show up to church on Sunday morning, they're coming to worship God. They are coming to worship God. Brother and sister Ole that I just told you about, by the way, we wish them a beautiful day together of grieving and loving the Lord and the Lord loving on them, and be praying for them today, okay? But I also mentioned the Oles. What a beautiful family, known for these kind of sweet characteristics. And I can tell you that as I sat through their daughter's murder trial in the 1990s, I sat next to them. Their daughter was murdered by her husband, who was a youth pastor. And it was a tragic, tragic scenario. And I sat next to Brother and Sister Ole, or Jim and Polly, as you may know them. I sat next to them during that trial. And Brother Ole, just so you know, this is a man of God. This was a man of God. When he was called by the St. Charles City Police, come, we have some tragic news. And Jim Ole went to the police department all on his own. He got to the police department and they told him that your daughter Rebecca has been murdered. We strongly suspect her husband, but we've not placed charges yet. And we know that you're going to have to tell your family and move forward. The disappointment, the wound that this man had in his heart. But he comes to, you all know Rex. You all know Rex Bornman. He serves as an honorary elder here and just a precious brother in the Lord, a part of St. Charles River Church. He gets to Rex's office, and when he gets to Rex's office, he kneels down in front of the desk that's in my office in my home. He kneels down in front of that desk and he raises his hands to the sky. And before he told anybody what had happened, he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." And he's on his knees. Raised his hands in that church office at First Assembly. He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord," as he just streamed tears out of his eyes and just worshiped the God that made the decision to permit something so wretchedly tragic. And yet he was wounded. He didn't understand how God could ever allow such a moment like this. When I know I've been faithful to you, my wife has been faithful to you, my children have been faithful to you, and yet I face a moment like this. He could have screamed that in front of that desk, but instead the words that he chose to speak on that day is the word that empowers us to life. The Lord giveth. He asserted that God has the right to give and God has the right to take. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I think we should give a hand to that kind of immense faith in the Lord. I believe that the heavens cheered that day when the enemy wanted to destroy the faith of a family and the faith of a church family. Instead, the angels began, I believe this with all of my heart, heaven began to cheer because the Lord was honored with who He was. He is my Creator. He is in charge. I will not bow here and curse the name of the Lord, but rather I will raise my hands and I will bless Him, His holy name. That's what Jim Ohl did that day in his worst moment of disappointment. Worst dreaded imaginary moment for any parent. He worshiped his Creator. And you know, till the day he died, I sat through that trial. And he showed me that this was so sweet. While I sat next to him in that trial, in the middle, now get this, get the picture. In the middle of the wound, it took 2 years to bring charges, to get the evidence. It took 2 years for justice. 2 years. We didn't know if it would ever take place. And all of a sudden, they had the information they needed and they pressed the charges. We were in the trial. It was all over the St. Louis News. And I sat there next to Jim Ohl, and one day during that trial, he looked over at me, and this was common for him. He said, you know, we're nothing but rubbish. And he'd giggle a little bit. He giggled because, I mean, his baby's gone. But 2 years later, he'd be giggling. He'd say, you know, we're nothing but rubbish. But I want you to know something. And he'd look at me, he'd say, Pastor Barry, but I'm just as much rubbish as him. And he pointed to the son-in-law behind the defense desk, and he said, I'm no different than him without Jesus. I am no different than him without Jesus. And he pulled that list out. He always had a list in his left pocket of his jacket. He pulled that list out. I don't know if you guys ever saw it, but he pulled that list out. And there was about 30 names on it by the time I was added to that list when we launched this church in 2000. I was added to that list every day. Jim Ohl prayed for me. But you know what? When before my name was put on that list, there was a boy's name, a young man's name put on there. It was his son-in-law. Pray for him every day. Pray for him every day. Pray for him every day. And he would pray for the man that killed his daughter every day. And Jim and Polly came to that place where their disappointment was overwhelmed with mercy and kindness. You know, it says, trust in the Lord and rely on Him. Where is Sean at? Sean, come up here. I want to give you an illustration just real quick, and then I'm going to continue on. This is a picture. This gives Sean a hand. Come on. This is a picture when it says, trust in the Lord and rely on Him confidently. You're going to do it for me, right? You're not going to let me drop, right? Okay. This is a choice I'm making. This could go bad. It's live TV. Everybody know that. With monkeys and with children, you don't get on a stage with them because anything can happen. Right? Well, he's not a monkey and he's not a child. He's about the biggest guy right now I could find. And so I want you to get a picture of what it looks like to rely confidently and make yourself vulnerable in all of your heart. In other words, what he's going to ask of us is trust me to the point that you're vulnerable and you're willing to be disappointed even though I am in charge. You're willing to go through the disappointment, but you'll trust me. So it's a picture. Put your arm out there. It's a picture of relying on him in a vulnerable. Now, right now, I'm not too vulnerable because I could stand back up. I'm not leaning on him too much because I can stand back up now. See, a lot of us, we try and lean on our own understanding. What does that mean? We lean on our own 2 feet. We try and make sure we can catch us just in case God fails us. That's the picture of it. We can do this. And even if I'm over here, I can still bounce back up because, you see, I still got my feet underneath me. But when you actually rely on God, get your arm out there, really, there you go. Get your arm out there, dude. Where you're really leaning on God and you're becoming vulnerable. If He drops me, this ain't good right now. Because right now, I got about 1 foot on the right leg that's hanging on. You get the picture. You get the picture. It's a vulnerability. And by the way, I was going to have Eric Rios do that. And he got a sense of humor. But today he's home with his family where he should be. So I'm glad he's there. But I can just imagine Eric going every once in a while, just playing with me. Thank you, dude. Give Sean a hand. It really is about being vulnerable before God and trusting Him in the most vulnerable moments. Did y'all get the gist of the picture? It really is. If God lets you down, you fall. That's the truth. Where you literally are so reliant upon Him, if He lets you down, you fall. I'm going to go on to the next. Rely not on your own insight or understanding. Don't try and figure things out. When you see something that is not what you wanted, I'm going to go to the next verse. In all your ways, acknowledge and recognize Him. Now, I just want to camp on this one for a few minutes. In all of your ways, that means in all of your thought processes. Let me just throw something out at you. If we think wrong, we're going to live wrong. Okay, got two. I said, if I'm thinking wrong, I will live wrong. If I'm thinking wrong, I will respond wrong. If I'm not trusting God, if I'm not thinking biblically, I will respond unbiblically. But if I'm thinking biblically, if I'm thinking right, I will live right. How many know that? How many know that before any of us made, you ever make a wrong choice? Don't you dare lie in church. What was this? Check out by not raising your hand. Did you ever make a wrong decision in your life? Are you ever going to, if you don't have your hand raised, I am going to call you by name. Did you ever make a wrong decision in your life? Were you thinking straight before you did it? No. The thought process best back there going, if she could lift a foot up back, let me tell you, if you're thinking wrong, you're living wrong. If you're trusting wrong, then you are trying to stand on your own two feet. The results will come about that you were trusting in yourself instead of God. So if you're thinking wrong, you live wrong. If you're thinking wrong, you'll respond wrong. But if we're thinking right, we will respond in a way that honors God. Let me give you a quote up here real quick. If you guys can throw that quote up. God gave this to me last night. I believe that the Lord gave this to me last night. If anybody ever sees this quote or anything like it anywhere else, I just want you to know I'm not aware that I ever saw it. But I want you to know this is what He gave to me. If the goal of life basically has been avoiding disappointment, you'll be greatly disappointed. Now stop there. If the goal, don't keep reading. I said stop there. If the goal has been avoiding disappointment, you're going to be greatly disappointed if that's your goal. But rather, if the goal has been learning to please God through disappointment, you'll actually respond very differently towards disappointment, and you will most definitely be pleasing to God. Now get that. Leave that up there for just a minute. If you're going to write that down or take a picture of it, somebody just took a picture of it. That's a better way to go because I can't type that fast. But if you want to get through that, think about that. If our goal is to avoid disappointment, let me tell you what, life throws it at you. The minute you can't avoid life. People, have you ever, during this entire time, the COVID lockdowns and all the different things where people have been separated, did it stop your problems? Did it stop problems from getting to you? But you were locked in your home just like I was for a certain amount of months. You were not able to be with people for a certain amount of months. But see, here's the truth. Life goes on even when we hide. By the way, the COVID-19 virus went on even though we hid. We locked down and people still got sick. It's a virus. It comes to you. It comes via any way it can come and wants to come. The attack of the enemy will come to you. The enemy, by the way, when you're at home in your house and you got all those doors locked and those windows locked, there's two voices in there with you. Oh, there's actually three. You got your own. Maybe you're talking to yourself. But there's times you'll hear that voice of discouragement. You got to know what it is. Listen, let me tell you something. We need to learn how to speak to our disappointment. Do you know you have the authority to speak to your disappointment? Do you know that you have the authority to speak to your doubt? It says to trust in, rely on, lean not on your own understanding. Lord, I don't understand this. So doubt or disappointment in the name of Jesus, go. You are not going to control me. If your disappointment controls you, you will live wrong. You will live angry. You will live bitter, or all of us, any of us, that allow disappointment to rule our lives. We are hurt. We are wounded. And by the way, sometimes it's legitimate. I'll just want to come back to this in a second, but you know, there's sometimes it's imaginary. Well, you know, I think they meant this when they said that. I think this is really what, sometimes it's imagination, sometimes it's real, sometimes it's perceived. But one way or the other, there is a disappointment or there's a wound there, and we need to learn what it is to actually take spiritual authority over those attacks of the enemy and actually speak to it. Because if it's speaking to you, by God, you have authority to speak to it. I'm serious. Okay, I'll come over here. I said, if it's speaking to you, by God, and I mean literally, by God, you have the authority to speak to it and to remove it from you. You have the authority to speak to doubt, to anger, to hatred towards racial issues in your life. You have the authority. Let me tell you something. If you speak or think a certain way about other cultures, repent in the name of Jesus. Really. I didn't say racial. There's just some things that are racial issues. I didn't say that. I'm talking about in a racist way where you actually think against people and you categorize people in a negative way, repent and ask God to forgive you and go and sin no more. That's just what that is. It's called sin. And we have the right and authority and obligation to speak to that in the name of Jesus and remove that. No, I'm not going to think that way. You have no authority over me. Disappointment, you cannot rule over me. Racism, you cannot rule over me. Doubt, you cannot rule over me in the name of Jesus. Speak to it. You have cancer, speak to it. I'm not one of those crazy guys. Believe me, I'm not a crazy guy. But if you know you're being attacked by the enemy, do you think God is bringing you that disappointment so that he can hurt you? Do you believe that God is bringing you that doubt so that he can hurt you? Do you believe that God sends cancer so that he can get even? There are people that actually think that way. I deserved it. That is not, get into God's word. Learn the God of the Bible. He does not love you that way. By the way, have you ever disappointed someone else? And it's legit. I mean, I disappointed somebody else. If you didn't say yes, then you are not. Next Sunday, I'm going to be teaching on self-awareness. Let me go ahead and finish this. Go to that next verse. There you go. In God's word, in Proverbs. There you go. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him. That means in all. Everybody say all. No, you didn't say that with a lot of gusto there. I said, everybody say all. If I say it that way, you say it that way. All of my ways, know him. All of my ways acknowledge him. The words from my lips ought to acknowledge that I know him. The words from my lips ought to acknowledge that I know him. Years ago, keep that up there, Beth. Years ago, I was down, we were the group that I sang in years ago, the Southern Gospel group that I sang with. We were down in southern Missouri. So far southern, I saw Welcome to Arkansas sign down the street. That's the truth. God's honest truth before the Lord. I saw Welcome to Arkansas. And Dale Key, some of you know Dale Key, he's one of the vocalists in the group that I sang with. Dale and I were in, some of the other guys, they always accused me of never carrying the heavy speakers, by the way. And I was gifted with a smaller frame, so these big guys had to carry all the equipment in, you know. I got to carry the microphone suitcase. That's what they laughed about all the time. So anyway, I went in first, and I met the leader, and this deacon met me there at the front door with Dale Key, and we were standing there on the front porch and said, "Brother, you are really close to Arkansas." And he made a few comments, and this is the deacon of an Assembly of God church. Now, I'm not going to quote him because I won't speak that way. We said, you know, you guys are way down here. We didn't know. We didn't know. We thought you might be actually in Arkansas from what our map was telling us. And he said, well, I'm not going to live up there. And he used a racial slang, vulgar word. And Dale and I looked at each other. Did he just say that? In all of our ways, in all of our ways, acknowledge, know him, acknowledge and recognize him in all of our ways. And he will make your path straight, smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. This is the picture. Like you're going through a rainforest and the Spirit of the living God is going before you and he is literally cutting out a path just for you. When the enemy wants to come against you, when the enemy wants to actually stop you and hinder you and discourage you with disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, so at some point, take authority over that disappointment and stop giving him pleasure. Well, a few of you is okay with that. I said at some point, take authority over the disappointment and stop giving the enemy pleasure that he has taken you out of the fight. All he has to do is disappoint you. All he has to do is disappoint you. Can I tell you, at some point, disappointment ought to be the trumpet call for charge. Seriously, for the believer, when we're disappointed, at some point when we learn something that all things work together for good for those that are in Christ Jesus and called according to his purpose, at some point when we finally figure that out and really begin to believe it, we'll sit there and go, I can't wait to see how he straightens this out. Won't that be fun? When we first started this church, I've told many of you the story, but I'm going to tell it again because I can. When we first started this church, several pastors in the area did not want St. Charles River Church to be born. They called the district. The district called me. By the way, I had a great district soup at the time, Ron Garner. Beautiful guy. Love this guy. Great pastor. Great man of God. He and Georgia are a great, great couple in the faith. And so he said, Barry, now don't get discouraged. There's only about 12 that don't want you to exist. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. So we started having meetings with these pastors in the area, to hear their charges against me that I was going to split First Assembly of God. And I thought, I ain't that good. If y'all don't get it, I ain't that good. But somehow they had in their mind that I was going to split a big church in the area. And that was my home church all these years. Why would I want to ever hurt them? I love First Assembly. And so anyway, and I also tell these stories because I believe you need to hear real. So I got a call from our district superintendent. He said, Barry, I want you to come up and he named the church. Come up. We got a council of brothers and elders that are going to listen to the charges of these guys and they're going to weigh on whether we should, you know, allow this church to exist. And he said, don't worry. Just don't worry. Just come in and share your heart. And so I did. I went, and I was on the way up there. I was on Highway 63. Went to Columbia, turned right on 63, and on this highway, that is the highway that I sat there and I told God, now when they say this, I'm going to say that. And when they say that, I'm going to say this. And about that time, the Spirit of the living God said, if you'll shut your mouth. That's what I heard in my spirit. If you'll shut your mouth, I'll close the mouth of the accuser. I had an answer for everything they were throwing at me. They were good answers. And I wanted to give the answers. I really wanted to give the answers. Because I was so disappointed in these guys that I love. These are precious brothers in the faith. And they were angry at me that one of them actually said to me, you may steal church families from my church. I said, dude, I want to serve with you. I don't want to hurt you. I want to serve with you. One of the reasons Gene and I are not moving out of state is because we love you guys. We want to partner with you guys in the faith. Gina made the statement one time, and actually she did. She said, it will take a miracle for the Assemblies of God to allow us to church plant in the St. Louis metro area. Because that's how things are. That's just how things are. Not every Assembly of God pastor is like that. By the way, if you're an Assembly of God pastor listening to this, don't get wrinkled. We all know that. We all know not everybody's like that. There's a few others. There's a few Baptists. There's a few. You know, nobody has the stamp on jealousy and frustration and insecurity. So anyway, I heard that from the Holy Spirit, and I drove the rest of that distance to that church. I walked in, and there sat my accusers, about seven of them, and I'm not exaggerating. I was only seven that were there. Seven showed up. They said, "Barry, come on, and we want to talk with you first." So the elders brought me in there. Ron chaired the meeting and said, and about that time, there was a brother named Gary Denbo. Gary looked at me. He said, "Barry, where do you want this church that God's told you to build?" I said, "Weldon Spring area, right in that area." They said, Gary looked at me and he said, "Well, the church has already been approved 7 years ago, whatever it was, a few years ago. We prayed that the Holy Spirit would raise up a church right in that area. And we said that we're just going to pray that God will send us a pastor." He looked at all the elders. He said, "Looks like God sent us a pastor. We all in agreement?" They all said yes. They said, "Okay, Barry, you can go." When do I get to argue my case with the jury outside here? They say, "Oh, no, you're done. We'll handle that." So as I walk out the door, literally, I'm shaking these guys' hands. "Guys, I love you. I love you. I love you guys. Bless you guys. Tell your bride I said hello, will you?" And we're going, and just loving on them as they're going out the door. And as I'm going out the door, they're like, "Why is he leaving?" "Well, his church is approved." You see, he says, put that back up there, Beth, if you would, that last scripture. He said, "Before he goes, in all your ways, acknowledge him and recognize him, and he will make your path straight, smooth, removing obstacles that block your way." And that ought to get a huge hand in the Holy Spirit. Give the Lord a huge hand. You know what you're doing when you acknowledge him? You're sending favor ahead of you. Get the picture. You're sending favor ahead of you. When you're obeying and trusting in the Lord and totally relying on him, not lean, and you're making yourself vulnerable, you please God when you do that. When we trust him and make ourselves vulnerable to even more disappointment, when disappointment comes, trust him even more. Trust him even more. Lean harder when the disappointment comes, because all things work together for good for those that love Jesus and are called according to his purpose. And he is good. You know what you're doing? You're sending favor ahead of you. You're sending favor. You got goodness and mercy. These two huge thugs following you all the days of your life. You got favor ahead of you. Y'all get this picture? You got favor ahead of you. The Holy Spirit goes before you. And even well-meaning people who know Jesus, who don't know they're being the obstacle, he will gently remove them. He will gently move them aside from you. It doesn't matter. Don't tell me, "Well, you know, I got Christians that don't want me to do." What did the Lord tell you to do? What did the Lord tell you to do? What did you hear from God? Don't be disappointed in man so much we stop hearing from God. We need to speak to that disappointment, set it aside where it's supposed to be, and go on in the faith. The Bible says, ask anything. Listen to this. And I'm going to wrap it up. The Bible says, ask anything in my name and it will be given to you. Now, you know when we're really disappointed? When he doesn't give us, what's an expensive car? A Bentley. When that Bentley doesn't show up in my driveway, I am really disappointed. Because I asked God for that Bentley. Oh, that Maserati. Oh, my goodness. Pastor Mike would look good driving a Maserati, I think. I think he'd look good in a Maserati, and Carmen would even look better in that Maserati. So we need to ask the Lord for a Maserati, you know? Or really, I mean, no. He said, ask anything in my name. What's the key? What's the secret? In my name. In my name. You got to be walking in my name. In my name. When you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in my name. When we're really walking in the name of Jesus, we are acknowledging him in all of our ways. When we're really walking in his name, we're walking in the Spirit. And that our lives are defined by the tendencies of the Spirit of the living God. Grace, mercy, kindness. I mean, seriously, there is such a compassion that should define the believer. When we're walking in his name, I have a feeling we're going to be praying in his name, according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So instead of me praying for a Maserati for me, I'm going to pray for a Maserati for Pastor Mike. No, I'm not. Because I don't want you to have to pay taxes on that. That's right. I don't want you to pay taxes on that. But what I do want is blessing. And so what I want to do is pray. If you're praying for me, get this picture. If you're praying for me, God's blessing. And I'm praying for you. I'm praying in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless these families. God bless. Hey, some of you are shaking your head at me. You have to deal with how I teach and what I think and my thought processes. And Gina's not able to be here today, so I get a little more freedom. Sorry, baby. Sorry. It'll be all right. I'll be home soon. But listen to me. If I'm praying for you and you're praying for me, we're praying for each other. We're praying in the name of Jesus and we're praying that God blesses, that God blesses, that God blesses. Oh my Lord. Can you imagine what would happen if we actually began to really pray that way? Well, Lord, well, let me just do this right now before I turn it over to Pastor Mike. Father, I ask your blessing upon the Rios family today as they remember and celebrate Caleb's birthday today, his 28th birthday. Lord, we pray blessing upon the Rioses. We pray that the Spirit of the living God will saturate the Rios home today as they come together to grieve together at losing Caleb at such a young age. But Father, I pray that the overwhelming power of the Spirit of the living God will bring peace upon their home, tears of peace, tears of hope, tears of supernatural understanding that God is in control and above all things and nothing can happen to us that is not allowed by the Spirit of the living God, because He'll bring it about to be a some event in our life that will bring some level of productivity while we're still on the earth. But Lord, you're going to bring us back together and we will see Caleb and we will see our loved ones who've gone on into eternity. Lord, you're going to bring it out. All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. So we pray that faith believing over the Rios family today. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. And every believer said,
we hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.